everything paranormal.
Para-X.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Gathering Radio Show. This is Stephanie.
And this is Heidi, and we're happy to be back here after a week hiatus that we had last week.
Yeah.
It's been 2 weeks since we've been on.
Yeah.
So we're back.
Yeah. Actually, it's been 3 weeks since I've been on, right?
Oh, that's true.
Oh,
no.
Three. Because
yeah,
2 weeks ago, you had the Eagle Show. And then, I lost my little Bo, so she was our little gathering kitty. So she passed away that day. Been a little tough. It's been very tough, actually, around here.
Tough year.
But, you know, I have little Zoo Kitty down here, so we'll see if she'll kind of pipe in. I don't think so. She's not quite the talker that Bo was, but we'll see. We'll see.
You never know. She might pick up the torch.
She might. She might. She looks like she's sound asleep, though, so I kind of don't think so.
Maybe not.
Exactly. So, yeah. So, and then we were off last week. So, and here we are with a wild and wacky thunderstormy night here in Minnesota.
Yes, it is. And I was hoping, I was like, okay, please, you know, because they were talking about having some pretty big storms here. And I was just like, fingers crossed, don't let the power go out while we're on the show.
Yeah. Yeah, so, that would be just it, right?
Yeah.
And I have created a kind of a studio office for myself here, really close to the Wi-Fi signal. So I have great Wi-Fi down here. Just want everybody to know. So everything is all very much better than upstairs. But so it's been fun. So I've been doing a lot of stuff around the house. I know you have too. Just my body hurts in every imaginable way, from hauling rocks and digging and being in the mud and, you know, all this stuff. So, but it's been good. It's been good. How about you?
Yeah, same thing. You know, it's finally been warm enough now, because a week ago, it was still freezing overnight, wasn't it?
Yes.
We had a couple of freezes. It's like, okay, when can I get out there and start planting stuff?
Yeah.
And so that's been like this week, you know, finally getting out into the yard and being able to do things that won't get demolished with one overnight frost, you know. And it's nice to be able to get outside again and do some work. And if you're not used to it, it hurts.
Well, yeah, it's, you know, I'm getting older. This is the thing. So, you know, where before I could do a whole day and probably get most of it done, today I can do 2 or 3 hours and then I have to come in and then I'm done for the day. And I know my brother and I were talking about this and he said, oh yeah, man, we're just getting old. And I'm like, yeah, it sucks. Really does. But
yeah, it's been fun though. Yeah, we planted, I think I told you guys, we planted those fruit trees like a month ago and they have flowers on them now. I'm so excited just to see growth on these little fruit trees is really exciting. So I'm excited about that. And then we got our bees. I know I've been talking about that. If you were friends on Facebook, which I am with quite a few of you, I'm sure on the chat room anyway. And we've got our bees this weekend, honeybees. And it's so weird how much I love just watching them. I feel like it's my outdoor aquarium watching the bees, because they're just, they have this little community and they have their little, they each have their little jobs, you know? Mm-hmm. And when you start learning about them and then you watch them, you can actually see how this works. And so it's very, very fascinating. And I just am enthralled with this whole process, and I'm super excited to see how this all works throughout the summer and then winter and next year again. So yeah, it's just been fun. Lots of fun stuff outside now that it's nice again.
It, you know, it really is. It really is. So, and it's fun to see the yard coming along, because for so many years I was so busy, I really didn't have time to do anything, you know? And so it got really bad. So now I've just, we've done so much, you know, we've put in dirt around the foundation, which it needed really bad, because as you know, in Minnesota, we get a lot of rain and then it floods the basements. So we did that, and then we dug up all kinds of beautiful flagstones that had been buried that I found one day by accident. And so I dug them all out, brought them to various parts in the yard. But the front yard, I put in a big, huge scalloped border in front of the bushes out in front. So it looks just gorgeous. And then there's, you know, we put mulch on top of that, and there's ferns there, and I'm going to plant up some flowers, you know. So yeah, it's really coming along, and I've got some beautiful gardens in the back too that I also used flagstones for. So yeah, it's been a lot of hard labor. It's been a lot of hard labor, you know. So anyway, this old skinny girl has had a hard time, but you know, I did it. So yeah, it's absolutely. All good. It's good. So it's fun. And it's fun to see it, because it does look it looks really good. So,
well, and it's nice to, you know, get outside and connect with nature. Mm-hmm. That's something mm-hmm. that, especially with what we're going through right now with this pandemic and being, you know, coming out of a lockdown, it really is, I think it's been helpful for a lot of people to get outside, fresh air, get connected with Mother Earth, just to get centered, you know, with everything that's going on. And I know not everybody can do that or doesn't want to do that, and that's okay, but I think it does help a lot of people to really just be able to get outside. And it's tough when it's not very nice out, you know, and so it's just, and I'll go outside anyway, you know, even if it's snowing or whatever, but not everybody enjoys it or can wants to be in the cold, and I get it. But it's nice now that we can get outside and really just like hunker down out there.
And it's nice to be able to go barefoot out there. I mean, all weekend long it was muddy, and that's the best time to pull weeds and dig stuff up, because the ground is easier to dig. So I was out there in my bare feet, and I was just muddy from head to toe, and it felt so good. Can I just say it was the most fabulous thing ever? And, you know, we're out there all the time because we're out in the woods all the time. And I know that if I haven't been outside for a while in the winter, I'm like, who wants to go? I got to get out, because you get to the point where you get crazy and you need to be out in the woods, for me, you know. So but yeah, to be out in the yard, that's so fun. It's just so fun. I miss my donkey though, because he always sat with me, and Mally just doesn't do that, so now it's just me, sadly. But yeah, you know, no, it's all good, you know?
It's hard.
He's with me in spirit. He's with me in spirit, just like Boo Boo. So yeah, so it's been a tough year, lots of transitions, lots of loss for me, but we're moving ahead.
Yes, and that's all we can do, is keep moving forward. So
That's right. So I know you were on a little road trip, and Squatchers has been busy too. So you went to my favorite place, which is the Pope Lick Trestle, when you were down in Kentucky. What'd you find?
Let's see here. Okay, so the Pope Lick Trestle was the second place that we went. We ended up going to four different places on this trip, and the Pope Lick Trestle was great. It was my second time there, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, second time there. And it was really interesting. You know, the rumor, okay, so the theory is that there's some being, you know, whatever the being is, there's some being that is luring people to the trestle to get up on it and walk, which means that they have a very good chance of getting hurt or dying.
Yeah.
Because there's trains. It's an active trestle. There's trains on it quite frequently. So, but there's this urge that people feel compelled to go up there, and possibly to their death. Mm-hmm. And so I'm telling everybody when we go, okay, first of all, you can't climb up there. There's tons of signs, no climbing, no trespassing, all this stuff. So we're not going to do it, because we don't investigate places that we don't have permission.
Yeah.
that's my rule, right? That's my whole rule. And so we get there and there's seven of us. And within minutes, I've got people climbing around. I'm like, what are you doing? They're heading to the trestle. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And they're like, oh. And so what I started to realize is that if this has some kind of backing, you know, this legend or whatever, this folklore, if it has some kind of substance to it, what if this lure is, oh, it's fine. Oh, I'll just go a little further, you know, because that, like, people think that kind of stuff all the time. Well, it's fine. I'll just go a little further. Oh, it's fine. I'll just go a little further. And they get a little further. I'll go a little further. And that does, that feels harmless, right? Because you think, oh, it's fine here. You know, I'll just go a little further. And I saw that happening with like three people. And I thought, are you kidding me? That's so interesting. And they had all said, you know, no, we're not going to go anywhere. We're not supposed to. And well, within minutes, one, two, three, know, like trying to keep kittens in a basket with those folks. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
You're
compelled. So yeah, they started getting close. They were going to climb. I'm like, oh my God, you guys, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah, and I told you the story about when I was there with Katie and it must have been Kim, I guess. I don't remember who we were with a couple times before, because I've been there several times, but before the last time you and Tim and the bunch were there. And I really wanted to get to the top of that trestle. I was banging on the gate to get up there because I felt the need to get up there. And I know better than that. And Katie was right behind me and she's like, you can't go up there, Steph. I said, I'm going to go up there. I need to get up there. This is it. And then everybody was like, come on, Steph, we got to come down here. And that's when I shot that picture. That picture took of the goat man thing in the background, you know, but I still wanted to go. And then something just clicked, you know, and I was wrong. Able to turn it off. And then when we were all there at that time, I, you know, you put up a barrier so that it doesn't get to you. And I didn't feel compelled that time. But boy, that time before, I was ready to go up there. So I don't know what it is, but wow, it's powerful.
Yeah, it is. It was really interesting to watch it because every, you know, the few people, and I won't say who, but the few people that did want to go and climb around, we're just like, it's no big deal. We're fine. We're not going to go any further. But then they would go further. And I thought, oh, this is an interesting, you know, thought process around this, that it doesn't seem like it's a big deal. So if people don't think it's a big deal, they'll keep going further and then think it's not a big deal where they're at. So they keep going further. It's like, oh, this could be how they could maybe get lured if this is a thing. So that was interesting. And there was actually, when we went there was a new memorial. There was a gal that died. Yeah. She was, I think she was just shy of her 16th birthday.
Yeah, last summer, right?
Yeah, it was last, it was almost a year to when we went there. And she was with a friend or two, and because we ended up finding the news story. And she, her friend was seriously injured. She ended up dying, but we couldn't find what happened to the friend. That was seriously injured. So we don't know if she made it or not. I'm assuming she made it because there's no memorial, but maybe they wouldn't. I don't know why they wouldn't do one for her too. But
yeah.
So I'm guessing she made it. But how tragic and awful that young to be,
you know,
injured and then killed from something like this. You know, folklore, or what if there is something behind it? You know,
luring people. I think there is because I was so compelled, and I don't get that way. You know, nothing ever affects me that way. And you know, when we were there and did the investigation, we did get some EVPs that were interesting. You know, we did get that it sounded like a goat. Actually, it was like or something. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So
that crow too. That crow last time.
Crow?
And we listened. Remember last time we had that crow and it sounded like it was sitting on top of the recorder for how loud, well, not loud, everybody else was.
Yes.
You know, and I think Tim was carrying the recorder around for a while and then he sat it down, but we weren't that far away from the recorder and that crow was so loud. Yes. There's no way we wouldn't have heard it. It would have blasted our own ears out with how loud it was. So there was something going on with that place. And so this time I was specifically listening for laughing and a crow and stuff like that. And so we're still going through recordings and haven't heard anything yet, but it's just, because we got some really weird EVPs last time. So it would be, I thought, oh, it'll be interesting to see if we get some this time too.
Yeah. I would love, I know that we've all been talking about going down to Waverly and then going to the Pope Lick Trestle, you know, which is my favorite part. So, you know, maybe next year we'll have to see what happens because I haven't been to Waverly for like 6 years. And how was that one?
That was good. I love it. It's there's, you know, when you go to, when you're paranormal investigating, anyone out there listening, if you've done any kind of paranormal investigating in abandoned or no longer used buildings or facilities, it's kind of a toss up as to what condition the location is going to be in. You know, they, I mean, some of those, like you've been to Mokemi as well, right?
Yeah.
That place was a hot mess.
Oh,
and you don't want to sit.
Oh, it's so active up there. I would still go again if we could. I would go back.
I wouldn't go there because there's nowhere to sit down. First,
I would go in the winter because we went in the winter, and so none of that stuff was floating around in the air, like you said. There was a lot of ice, so we had to be very careful because we certainly could have fallen and killed ourselves. But there was none of the respiratory stuff like you talked about in the summer.
Yeah, because it was,
and the mold was frozen. Wet. Right. And the windows are all open. So it's not like it's in the winter. In the wintertime actually was a really good time to be there.
Yeah, it was awful when we were there. And plus, there's nowhere to sit. And so when it's that, you know, it's just a disaster zone and you can't sit anywhere. So you're exhausted by the time you get done.
Yeah. Right.
And it also, it doesn't help for cross contamination too, because
you're
walking the entire time or standing. So you shift and you shuffle and whatever, because you're just starting to ache because there's nowhere to sit down. Because the place is disgusting. You can't sit down. And that's what I liked about Waverly is there. I mean, it's so clean.
Yeah, you know, they are clean there. Mm-hmm.
They really take care of it. And so for a big, old, awesome, crazy active building, it's really clean. And I like that. So you could sit on the floor. You can sit on the cement floor or concrete, whatever. Concrete is a cement. I don't know. Anyway, you can sit on the floor and you don't have to worry. Like, you'll get dusty, you know.
Yeah.
It's like gravelly dust, you know, sand or whatever. No big deal. It's nothing big. And it's so nice going there. And but it's active. I mean, we had a couple of, well, more than a couple of times, sounds that we couldn't figure out where they were coming from, because every time we moved, it was coming from a different area. You know, we'd be on a certain floor and we could hear a sound quite clearly coming from a certain direction. So we'd go over there and then we heard the exact same sound coming from the other direction where we just were. And I'm like, well, how is that supposed to work? Mm-hmm. So, you know, every time we'd move, the sound would come from a different area. And we all would agree in the groups that we were in, like, we could hear, like, oh, it's coming from there. We'd all point. Yep, that's where it's coming from. Mm-hmm. So that was super cool. We had of our group, two were men and the rest were ladies, right? Mm. And on the second floor, and I don't know if it's room 249 out in front of, I think it's around there, around 249, 245, somewhere in there. Both of our guy investigators, both of our guy investigators were touched in the same exact spot. So first, Tim was walking down the hallway and he had his headphones on because he was listening to the voice recorder as it's recording, because you can pick up a whole lot more. Mm-hmm. And so he's walking and all of a sudden he stops and kind of flinches and turns around and he looks and he's looking up at the ceiling because he's wondering. He said, my head just got touched. Like, it felt like someone took their hand and touched my forehead and then ran their hand over my head and, you know, kind of run their hands through his hair or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was enough to make him turn around and jump, like, who just touched me? And so we're looking around and we're like, no, there's no cobwebs, there's no nothing hanging down from the ceiling, which the ceilings are relatively tall.
Yeah.
And there was nothing, you know. And then there was another group that was further down and we weren't talking that loud, we weren't whispering, but we weren't talking that loud. And eventually they came up the hall and they were ways down there. They came up the hallway and we didn't tell them anything. We didn't even have time. They were still coming up the hallway. He walks in that same spot. The second investigator, Steve, he walks in that same spot and he flinches and turns around and looks up, looks around. And he's like, oh my gosh, I just got touched. And we looked at him and we're like, you're standing in the exact same spot that Tim got touched in that exact same way. I mean, he described it to a T.
Mm-hmm.
And we could just tell there was a female there and she was hanging out with the guys.
You know, I remember the second floor, there was a couple of rooms and there was a name, they called her something. There's a name to that ghost. I don't know if it's the same one, but I remember we felt we could, I don't know that we were touched, but I definitely remember talking to her, you know, in that space. But I remember the fourth floor, of that place was the scariest, was the most active for us. And, you know, that was the, we found out that that was the surgical floor, which, oh my God, talk about a helpless, hopeless situation. And I just remember when we got down there, and, you know, I'm usually the first one to run down the hallway, right? Because, you know, that's how I'm a squatchers too, right? I just always go. And for some reason, you know, it was Jerry and I and Jeff, and I just didn't want to go. Something was just saying, oh my God, this is so sad. I just can't go. And I started crying. I just, the tears came out, and I think I cried for like 15 minutes. I couldn't stop. And we walked, you know, and I was just sobbing. It was terrible. And then to find out, you know, that they were imposing their, you know, they were just so sad. They had no hope, right? Because, you know what they did to people. They opened them up, they exposed their lungs, and then they died within, you know, a day or two. It was awful, you know? And then when we got to the other side and found that surgical room, you know, Jerry and Mike, one of our other investigators, had like their breath was taken away, and we were worried Mike was going to have a heart attack because he was just being weird stuff. And yeah, that fourth floor was really something. I'll never forget that one. So that was the one for me. Wow.
Yeah, it was a cool place. And what was interesting, now they moved the area where you have like the central command, you know, that used to be in the old chapel.
Yep.
And now they have it in the overflow room, the overflow body room, that where they'd store all the bodies because they didn't have enough room in their morgue or whatever, you know, when it got really bad. And so they, you know, it was in the hallway that goes to the body chute.
Yeah.
And so that's where our new central command was. And so, and it's interesting, and it must be for their Halloween time, because they had like four caskets lined up against the wall in that room, which of course Tim had to go lay in one of them.
Oh yeah. I saw the picture.
Yeah. So like, that just isn't, I probably just don't want to put that out there, Tim, but he did it anyway.
Yeah.
But that was kind of neat to be in that room, cause I hadn't been in that room before. So he, so we were, you know, it was just interesting being in there, cause it kind of, you could feel, it was a huge room, and I could just feel like all the people that had to be kind of waiting in there, you know, their bodies waiting in there. It's just,
There's all kinds of stuff at Waverly. And I remember when we went, the minute we went through the gates, I had a pounding headache. I mean, I had a bad headache the whole time we were there. And the minute we left, it was mysteriously gone. And I remember Tina, I think she's the owner. Is that her? We had a big conversation, and she said, oh, honey, you just have a really bad headache. Do you want something for it? I said, I did. I took some Excedrin. And she said, oh, people get that way here, you know, because it's just, it's the paranormal craziness, you know? Yeah. And yeah, it sure affected me, you know? So.
Yeah, it was a cool place. And Kat in the chat room asks, isn't Waverly where the creepers are supposed to be? Anyone see any? And, you know, we did see things. I probably saw more last time that I went. Visually, I saw more last time than I did this time. This time, we heard a lot more. You know, we heard people talking that we, you know, it wasn't anyone in our group, because we have a small group, and we heard someone somewhere else. And so we could hear people talking. We could hear, you know, again, the noises that would kind of bounce around and weren't coming from any one area. So it couldn't have been someone. Plus, our whole group was together at that point when that was happening. And it wasn't, it did happen when our group split up too. And it was, you know, it was interesting, because there's a couple of things, a couple other things that came up. When we went in the body shoot, there was four of us that went in the body shoot at the same time. And Cindy and I decided to walk down to the bottom, which, you, when you're looking at it from the top, it looks okay. But the stairs are those wide, short stairs. And so it just, it's not like going up normal stairs. No. And so it really kicks your butt. And, but I took a picture behind, you know, I took a selfie, I guess, of me with my back to the bottom of the stairs, right? So it was looking down the chute. And a gal from another paranormal group, I posted some pictures online, and she, for a hobby, for fun, she takes pictures and she puts different filters on them, so you can see different things, like different, because when it's a really dark photo, you don't really see anything. It's just kind of dark, right? And so she puts different filters on and stuff starts to show up. And it was funny because when we were in the body shoot, I felt like someone was kind of creeping around my shoulders, right? And she does this filter thing, and it showed like, I don't know, I guess you could say, I don't know if I would totally agree that there was two kind of way back there, but I told her, I said, I felt like there was something on my shoulder, like right at my shoulder. And when she looked and she's like, oh my gosh, I think there is something there. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that was kind of cool because it felt like something was like right there, just hanging on my shoulder. And it was just, it was cool. So it was neat to kind of see a picture that, if, you know, it could be matrixing, I get it, but it felt like that. So I see this thing that's kind of hanging right behind my neck, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's what it felt like.
Gotta take a picture. Well, you know, we often take selfies when we're on investigations because, or if you're in front of a mirror, that's the other thing, because, you know, stuff shows up all the time, mm-hmm. you know, and you guys should have did a live when you were down there, a Facebook Live or something. People love that.
I did.
Oh, did you?
Oh, I did I didn't do a Facebook Live because I wasn't getting reception. So what I was doing throughout the trip, if I didn't have, like, I just did videos and posted them. So I did do a video when I was in the body shoot. And so if you guys want to watch it, it's on the NPRS Facebook page. So I put all the videos up there. But I was having a hard time getting reception in the in Waverly anyway, because it's a big cement building, right? So
Yeah, that's too bad. Because I remember last summer, was it last summer or the year before, we went down to that schoolhouse down in Iowa. You guys were just there last fall or something.
Oh, Farrar,
And we did a live session. And one of the guys that's been on our show, he's a psychic in North Dakota, and for some reason his name escapes me, but he was watching it, and he would say things like, Steph, I see this guy standing behind you. And then, I mean, he was like just spot on. And then we talked to the guy that is the caretaker there, and he's like, oh my God, who is this guy that's telling you this? And, you know, we said, well, you know, he's a friend of ours. And he said, oh my God, he's like just spot on, you know? And I'm like, it's just so cool that the people that actually join in on those lives, you know, that if you're in the field and they're telling you stuff, it's kind of cool, you know? Yeah. I mean, we knew, but, you know, it's just that somebody else, collaboration, you know? Mm-hmm.
So Kat in the chat room asked, what do you think the creepers are, the creepers at Waverly Hills? And I guess my thoughts around it, because I have heard that and I feel things that I guess I would call it that. I don't know if every, because it's like shadow people. Everybody has a different version of what shadow people are. So creeper, like you could have probably 15, 20 different things there and everybody could call them all creepers, even though they're different things. So my idea of what those would be, they're entities, non-human entities that were drawn to the immense pain and suffering and fear and stress and, you know, anxiety, all that during this horrific pandemic. And with all these people suffering, dying, you know, just tragic, tragic ends to their lives. I know that there's low vibration entities that are drawn to that kind of energy. And so, and that place is holding a lot of it still. So I can imagine entities being still connected to that place because of the history there and the history that's now part of that land. And also, just the, you know, now there's people coming there all the time and investigating. And so it kind of keeps reopening up that energy. You know, doorway, so to speak.
Yep.
So exactly. That's my thought on it, is what they are. What, how could I describe it? I don't know. Non-human. I guess if I thought about it more, I could probably give you more of a description. But
I call them icky supernatural creatures that were never human. That's what I call them. Because we've run into quite a few down at a place that Sim likes to investigate a lot. And we've actually got, Jeff has one of those connects things. And last time we were there, he actually got, you know, video of one creeping up the side. Oh, gross. They're just gross. Can I say? But creepers is a good word for it. I mean, they do creep and they walk up the walls and they kind of hang from the ceilings and oof-da. Yeah, they're not good. That's for sure. But supernatural ickies, Jerry said. Yep.
Yep.
Absolutely. And they got some, they were just there a couple weeks ago too. And they got some footage too of that. Connects got some stuff. Gollum's relatives. Yeah, kind of. That's kind of what it reminds you of, Gollum, for sure. So Waverly is full of them, but I think a lot of those other places are as well. So, wow, we are coming up. It's already 30 minutes past the hour. So We will have to go to commercial break, and we will be back in a couple of minutes. This is the Gathering Radio Show on the Para-X Radio.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
You've no doubt heard of Tango and Cash, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. Perhaps it takes two to tango. Well, now, on the first and third Thursdays of each month, there's a show called Tango and Friends at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Para-X Radio Network with your host, Bruce Tango. And yes, there will be at least two to tango on each episode, sometimes even more. There's going to be lots of topics and lots of guests you'll all know and lots of surprises. Tango and Friends, every first and third Thursday of the month at 8 p.m. right here on the Para-X Radio Network.
It is the secret of the world that all things subsist and do not die, but only retire a little from sight and afterwards return again. Nothing is dead. People find themselves dead and endure the mock funerals and mournful obituaries. And there they stand, looking out the window, sound and well, in some new and strange disguise. This secret must be told to the world, and they must tell it. Because they're not dead, we know this, and we'll prove it. So join Mike and Dave every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central for the Odyssey Files. Only on Para-X.
You haunted by shadow people in the middle of the night?
Do you secretly love all things creepy and spooky, enjoying ghost stories and horror fiction from the best storytellers?
Do you have a true ghost experience you want to share, but no one will believe you?
If yes, listen to the professionals on What Are You Afraid Of? Horror Paranormal Show, Friday nights at 9 p.m. on Para-X Radio and at www.whatareyouafraidofpodcast.com.
What are you afraid of on Para-X?
Our creepy and demented hosts are on call to provide you with all your spooky needs with true ghost stories, interviews, indie music, and new horror fiction.
We are ready to scare you.
Para-X.
Welcome back to The Gathering here on the Para-X Network, and we're talking about some of our recent adventures. Recently, for me, was Waverly Hills and a few other places. So, yeah, it was quite the adventure last... Well, we just got home on Wednesday, not even a week ago. So, yeah, it was very, very cool that going back to Waverly Hills, I loved it. Loved it.
Yeah, yeah. I know we've talked about, the Sim crew has talked about going down there again. We talked about going this year, and then, I don't know, kind of fell apart or whatever. But, yeah, we've all been talking, and we sure all want to go and go to, you know, there and Public Trestle, and there's a couple different places we would like to go. So, yeah, so maybe next year. We'll have to see what happens. So... But, yeah, interesting. And I just have to say, before I forget, so I know last 2 weeks ago when you were on, you had, you talked about the eagles, and those eagles have gotten so big now. I was watching the cam today, which I don't do often, but every once in a while I check in on them, and man, those babies are ready to fly, can I just say? I know Lori, I listened to it, was a very good show. Lori did a great job.
She was awesome.
I know she sent me a couple of emails, but she was saying I always get updates from the DNR about the eagles, you know, and in there it was talking about that they're at the college level now and they're ready to leave the nest, and the parents are not leaving as much food on the nest so that they're compelled to leave the nest. So, but they are big, and I know the eagles down at the nest that I visit are super huge too, and I really need to get down there and shoot some photos. I've been really lax at that. I just haven't felt like it, to be quite honest, but I have to get down there this week because they're not far behind that DNR bunch. So, but exciting times, you know, and of course worrisome. Everybody that watches that cam is going to be just crazy when they go off, you know, and they can't see them anymore, you know? So,
yeah, it was cool talking with her, and I was tuning into the Eagle cam while she was talking, and I think you probably heard on that shit. I totally lost track of the chat room.
Isn't it cool?
I was talking with her, watching the Eagle cam. I had no idea that there was a chat room at that point, because I was just like totally locked into that Eagle cam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's cool.
It's so fun. You know, like, oh gosh, you know, that cam they have down in the Decorah Eagle cam has been up for probably 10 years. And I remember I used to watch it. Oh my God. For a while there, I was going crazy because, you know, I just have it on all the time at work. You know, it would just be on another window, you know. But you get worried then, right? Oh my God, if one of them is not doing well, it's like, oh my God. And then the chat room is crazy, you know, and I can't do this. This is too much for me. So I don't do that anymore, but I do read the updates and I do look every once in a while, and I know I've been to that nest, and it's a fabulous nest, and that's another one I would like to go visit maybe this weekend. But yeah, so fun, but at the same time, they grow so fast, and then they leave, and that was a great show. You guys did a good job. Lori's fantastic. We'll have her on again, and she can talk about all the other stuff that the DNR does, too, for the non-game.
Yeah, they had a lot going on. It was really cool to hear just even a little bit about the rest of it. So,
Yeah, it was really fun. So when you were down there, we've been out. Squatchers has been out a couple of times to this new research area that's phenomenal, can I just say. So we found this really cool star structure, which we don't really find those very often, and it was just so intricately laced and wave and could withstand a tornado, I swear. It's just such a really cool place, you know, and this time we found wolf prints. I mean, last time we found cougar poop. So, I mean, there's lots and lots of animals there. Perfect for Sasquatch. And we went super early this last time. We got out there it was like 5:30 in the morning. It was right before sunrise. And it was so fun to be in the woods when the sun was coming up. And it was just so alive. It was so alive. It was the coolest thing ever. And we trudged around for a few hours, and then I had to come home to go to work, you know what I mean? But so fun. So we'll do that again. But we had that, and then we're probably going to do a nighttime investigation out at Carrie's house. She's got something going on out there, and I've been out there numerous times, and there's, I don't know what's out there in her woods. There's something. I don't think it's Bigfoot, but I think it's, you know, we talked about dogmen. You know, dogmen are very close to the cities, and she's found prints. She's found structures. Different kinds of structures that aren't like the Bigfoot structures. And, you know,
what kind of prints?
Well, some of them are like three-toed prints. And originally when she first showed them to me, I said, well, they're turkey prints. And she said, Steph, because look. And then she sent a picture of like a dollar bill because I told her she needs to do that, you know. It was huge. It was no turkey print. And so, you know, I know all these cryptid people, and so I've been circulating some pictures around and some pictures of the structures because I was out there a couple weeks ago, I guess. And, you know, they're all like, well, dog man, it kind of looks like maybe a juvie Squatch. And I said, it's too close to the city. Although I don't know, maybe not. But, I mean, she's only 10 minutes away from me. And I can see where it could get there because, you know, she lives really close to an airport, to the Blaine Airport out there. And so, you know, I can just see where you know, it all runs in a row, just like our number one research area runs into this new number two research area. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like 10 miles away, but they're all kind of connected, you know, by rivers and streams and woods and swamps. So, I mean, who knows? Who really knows, you know, but there's activity all the time. So I said, you know, Carrie, we just need to come out here and we just need to sit for a couple hours at night and just see what shakes, you know, and see if it's, you know, if anything comes because that's what you do, you know. So I think we're going to do that soon. I think maybe this weekend. We'll have to see. But, we got a lot going on. And then we have, you know, we were on the calling. Lauren Coleman was on the calling radio show a couple weeks ago. And we were a few of us got to be on there, too. And he's fun. He's so fun to talk to. You know, he is just like, oh, you guys, I really miss Paracon. That's the first thing he said, you know, because we used to visit. And you guys were there and it was handy and we just have such a good time. And we're like, yeah, well, that's not going to happen again, you know. So, yeah, so he was really fun to talk to. So, yeah, Squatchers has been really busy, you know, and we have, we're going to be up north here at the end of June. So we're traveling too. We got to get down south with Cammy to find out what's going on in southern Minnesota and northern Iowa. So we got quite a few things going on this summer.
Yeah, so. It's definitely, It's that short window to get out in the woods because now it's going to be bug mania too. Mm-hmm. And the ticks are already out. They've been out for a while.
Yep.
So it's like there's that short window and then no.
You know, oddly enough, though, when we were out last week, I didn't find one tick. None.
Really?
None. Oh. I took a shower. The last time I was out, when I took a shower, there were like three of them in the tub, and I'm sure they were in my hair, you know, and I just didn't see them. But this time, I didn't see any on my clothes. I didn't see any in the field. There was nothing in the shower. So weird. I'm kind of perplexed with that because last year there were everywhere those ticks, you know. Yep. So different weather though this year. So maybe, I don't know, maybe it wasn't such a tick season. I don't know.
I don't know. When we were down at Waverly, we actually stayed in the accommodations that they have now, the pump house, the old pump house. And I'm going to put my headset on because it's raining so hard. I can't even hear you. barely hear you. So I'm going to have to put my headset on because I cannot even hear you. So I'm going to have to do this for a second. But
yeah,
it was really cool to stay in the pump house because originally the pump house was completely filled with water. It supplied the water for all of Waverly Hills. And so they drained it and fixed it up. And it's really nice. It's like a really nice cabin, you know, like I think there is, 10 bunks in each room. There's two rooms and then two big bathrooms and a shower room. And but we were standing down, and the pump house is at the end of the body chute. So when you're at the pump house, you can walk over and see where the chute comes out. Now it's all blocked off. No one can get through it. But I was just standing there talking with the group when we were getting ready to leave. And I get in the car and I have tick on me. I wasn't even in the weeds. I'm like, I can't handle this. I cannot handle ticks. I was like, I just froze. I'm like sitting in the car. I can't even move. Cindy had to lean over and pick it off of me and then give it to Tim. And then he like took care of it. I was like, no, I can't do this.
I don't like them. That's for sure. But I don't get worked up about it. I mean, it's just, you know, if you're going to be in the woods, you just have to deal with it. You just have to deal. That's just the way it is. And you just have to, like one of the researchers up north said to me, stop the minute you guys are done, take off all your clothes and make sure there are no ticks. And that's just that's exactly what we do. You know, just shed the clothes, look, make sure there's no ticks and we're done. And if there is, we take them off. So that pump house is down below then, right? Because the shaft, the body chute goes down.
It's huge, yeah. So yes, if you follow the body chute all the way down, if you could go out the bottom, and just to the left would be the pump house.
Interesting. Oh, I thought it was in a totally different place where they were having people stay. Well, that's
cool. So what you do when you get there is you check in with them, and then they have you get in your cars, and they drive you around to the pump house first, so that you can unload all your bags when it's light out. So that when you're done investigating, you just get in your cars and you drive back around there and they give you a code and there's a little punch keypad on the, you know, to get in. And then you just let yourself in and then you stay there until you're done. But yeah, it was, and so it was kind of cool to stay on the property, and it was really nice to have to drive a minute and now you can just fall into your little bunk. So it was cool.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm surprised it's down there. Wow. Yeah, when we were there, we did walk. Katie and I walked about halfway down that body chute, and then we came back up. But, yeah, it's kind of a long way, actually, you know,
to do
that.
It's incredible.
Did you see the lights? Did you stand at the top and look for the lights that everybody talks about?
Yeah. I saw them last time. I didn't see them this time. I saw them last time I was there. So, yeah. And I could see them. It looked like two little orbs moving around. One was blue and I can't remember the other one, but I could see, I couldn't get a picture of them to save my life, but I could see them clear. Mm-hmm. And, I saw like these light anomalies down at the bottom of the chute, and there's no light down there. There's no light in the chute. There's a filament that looks like they might do something. I don't know if they do something for Halloween or something, but because there looked like some kind of filament with lights, but there's nothing on there, and it doesn't move. You can't move. The light bulbs don't move. They're in the ceiling, you know?
And I remember when we did it, it was Jeff and I and Katie, and we stood at the top and teetered and looked down and waited for these lights because people that we were with had seen them. And it wasn't just them, the sim crew, it was some others too. And they had seen them. I said, you guys got to go back. And so the three of us stood there at the top and just teetered, you know, and just looked in the dark, and we never saw them. Unfortunately, I was really disappointed with that one.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're cool. But I mean, it's like you don't You don't know how to explain it because there's nothing down there that can move nor should move. Mm-hmm. So why do you see orbs that are moving? You know, that doesn't make any sense.
I know. Crazy talk. It's just nuts. So, yeah. Crazy. So there's just all kinds of nutty things going on. I'm looking here at when they're talking about the terrible things that have happened in Minneapolis this week here on the chat room. Yesterday, actually. So, anywho, we're not going to get into that. We're just going to talk about fun stuff. So where else did you go when you were down there in Kentucky? I love Kentucky. Did you drink some bourbon? Did you drink some bourbon ale for me when you were there?
No, nothing's open. I mean, you can't go anywhere.
I suppose.
And everything had shifted with timelines and stuff anyway. So we had originally planned to go to the Fraser Museum, which has a bourbon tour. We were going to do that because I thought it'd be kind of a fun way to get a little, you know, history of Kentucky along, you know, the bourbon line, you know, which is their thing. So, but everything was still kind of shut down. You know, so we didn't do that. And we really didn't have time with, going to the public trestle in between. Cause it was, you know, it's an hour and a half drive. Cause our first investigation was in Mitchell, Indiana. And so we had the hour and a half drive to Louisville, and then, you know, you have to eat and all this stuff. And then you get to the public trestle, and we did that. And then we ate and went to the Waverly Hills. And so we really didn't have a lot of time in between, but a lot of things were still closed. So, but the first place that we went was Whispers Estate, which was in, like I said, Mitchell, Indiana. And have you ever been there?
No.
Okay.
Never heard of it.
Okay. So it's a beautiful house, and it was originally owned by a doctor and his family who lived there in the early 1900s, and maybe it was late 1800s. Okay, it was late 1800s. I'm getting all my dates mixed up from all the places I've been. And he was a doctor there for quite a few years. His wife and both of his children ended up dying there in the house. And 16 patients died. I'm doing all the math here in my head. 16 patients passed away in that house as well. Plus, four other individuals died in the house. It was used as a rooming house at one point, and two of the boarders died in the house. No, one boarder died in the house, and someone else died when they were coming to like clean some stuff up in the house. And then two brothers died. One brother killed the other out of, like, nobody knows why. They were in the basement doing, I believe they were like challenging some of these spirits, doing Ouija board stuff or something. He ended up killing his brother, smashing his head against the concrete or something. And then he ended up coming back and committing suicide there, the brother that killed the one brother. So there's been a lot of death there, and I thought it was a really cool house. I would definitely go back. We're still going through audio, but I think we'll get a lot of EVPs there. We did see quite a bit, and I actually got smacked there. It was while we were doing the tour, and we were in the former master bedroom, and the owner was giving us the tour, and he, you know, said, because there's not electricity in all the rooms, there is in a few rooms. And so he said, you know, I want you to see how dark it is when you turn your flashlights out. And he had been telling us some of the stuff that had been happening there. And I turned my flashlight out, or everybody did. We turned our flashlights out, and it was pitch dark. And within, I don't know, a couple seconds, I got hit. And it was interesting because it made me gasp because I wasn't expecting to get hit. I had one person to the left of me sitting on the foot of the bed. She's about 2 feet away from me. And then someone to my right, I don't know, probably 2 feet away from me. And I was hit on the left side on my neck, like at the top of my shoulders, on my, you know, kind of the back of my neck. And it was hard enough that my hair on the left side of my head flew forward. So my hair got like whooshed forward from getting hit, and you could hear it. And the people standing around me could hear me getting hit. Mm-hmm. So it was a audible thing. You know, people could hear it. And so I thought that was interesting because usually when you get touched, you don't hear it. Like nobody hears it, but you can feel it.
Yeah.
But I felt it because I got hit, and almost everybody could hear it. They couldn't hear it across the room. But as soon as I was hit, I gasped. And then, I don't know, two people turned their flashlights on, and we were all looking around, and nobody is standing near enough to me to hit me at all. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty cool. And then that same room, we had the closet door opened twice in front of us. And there's no way that it could have opened. We worked so hard to debunk it. It happened. We heard the door, the latch click, and the door handle turned, and then it opened. And we watched it open because we heard the click, and we turned and looked, and it was opening. We're like, oh, well, that's interesting. So we shut it, made sure. Tim is wrenching on the doorknob, making sure it can't open by itself. And we stomped around, walked around, did everything that we were doing before the door opened. And we were like, okay, this door can't open by itself. It just can't. Mm-hmm. And so we go about doing whatever we're doing, and the door opens. We hear click, and the door swings open again. We're like, you've got to be kidding me. There's no way that door could open by itself. No way. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty cool. So that all happened. I did see an apparition when we were sitting in a different room. We were all together, and I saw a man come up to the table that was in front of me and kneel down on one knee like he was going to pick something up off the table or set something down on the table. And I said, oh my God, there's a man. He just like sat right here. He came in and kneeled down. And a couple other people saw something. They didn't see it as clear maybe, but they saw someone come in and kind of go into like a kneeling position. And so that was pretty cool. So we had some really neat experiences there. So it'll be interesting to keep going through evidence and see what else we can, you know, come up with, because, you know, stuff like that too. Anytime you investigate, some of the investigation, you know, the evidence is happening after you were there, mm-hmm. you know?
Oh yeah.
So yeah. Sure. So that was, sure. that was pretty cool. I would go back there. I loved it. The owner, Rich Ballard, he is really, really nice guy. And he just bought the house. It was for sale for a while. He's been going there, I guess, for like 7 or 8 years. He's been there, I don't know what he said, 70 or 80 times, like an insane amount of times.
Oh my God.
He's a parapsychology teacher. And so he takes his students there. Yeah. So how cool, what a cool class to take and then go there for the final or whatever. And,
so what is it called? The Harrison House? Is it close to?
No, Whispers Estate.
Oh. Why did I get Harrison? How did I get Harrison out of that? And is it on the way to Waverly?
Yeah. Pretty close.
Okay.
So yeah, it was pretty cool. I really enjoyed it. I would go back just to see what else we can get, because we had enough activity mm-hmm. from one evening that mm-hmm. I would go back again mm-hmm. and do it again. So
cool. Very cool. So Karen is saying that ticks are arachnids, you know, Heidi, and isn't the spider your totem?
Yes. I don't care. I don't care. That's fine. You know what? They can be my totem all day long. But technically, spider is my totem. Tick is not, because tick is a different animal. I mean, it's a different creature. I know it's not an animal, but mm-hmm. it's a different creature. So it has its different properties. So technically, tick is not one of my totem animals.
Well, and you know, when you're in Kentucky, they have different kind of ticks down there. And I specifically, one time we were down there, and it was the time we went to Waverly, because we also, that was the first time I'd ever been to the public trestle. And we were walking around in the field there and in the whatever, the park, came back, and there was a tick that was lodged in my arm. And I had like a spot. I was kind of worried because there was a spot. You know, we pulled it out, whatever, and then it stayed there for a while. I did go to the doctor, but it was fine. It wasn't Lyme, but it was a different, like, it was called something else. It wasn't like any of the ticks we have up here. It was like something from it was called a Texas kind of something. So, yeah, you got to kind of be careful when you're in different parts of the country, because you never know what kind of ticks they might have there.
Yeah.
But I think that one said they carried Rocky Mountain spotted beaver or something, you know, so that was a concern for a while. But I came through it. We're all good.
Yeah. It is good.
So, yeah, craziness. So, cool. Well, I'm glad you had a good trip, it sounds like. I'll be interested to see some of your evidence when you get it done.
Yes. It'll be cool to just, you know, keep kind of going through it and see what else is, you know, what else happened that we may not have been aware of. Because, again, sometimes those EVPs.
Yeah.
You know, you just don't know. Oh, yeah. And you go through your photos and you don't see it at the time because you're looking in such a small screen. And then
anyway. It's like, oh, my God. And you scream, because I've done that before. Look at that. So, Yeah, no fun. So, yeah, busy time of year. So we've all been busy even throughout all these stay-at-home orders and, you know, whatnot. So
we did go one other place, too, when we were on our trip. I don't know if you've – have you ever been to the Dartford Cemetery in Wisconsin?
No. Mm-mm. Mm. Where's that?
It's in Green Lake, Wisconsin, and – It was more on the way home in my head than it was in real life. So it wasn't too far out of the way, but it was a little bit. I'm glad we went just because I've heard a lot of hoopla about the cemetery. And supposedly there's this crypt there. And if you are sitting on the crypt at night, you get pushed off by some being. Like that's one of the rumors. And so we wanted to go. But I have a problem with going to somewhere that you're not supposed to be there after a certain time, because I, again, don't want to investigate anywhere I don't have permission. And so you have permission to walk around a cemetery until dusk, but now the rumor is that you get pushed off if it's nighttime and you're sitting on the crypt, which I don't want to sit on someone's crypt either.
Right.
So we just walked around. It was actually a really cool cemetery. It was really beautiful. And there were some really interesting gravestones there. It's full. It is packed. There are so many gravestones there. I'm like, where... How is there a town left with how many gravestones are there? It's crazy how full the cemetery is. But it was really neat. We went there at dusk and it was so cool. So we didn't stay very long, but we did do some EVP work. And we did do some work with the K2 meter. It seemed like we were talking to someone that didn't want us to be there, that they were not interested in us being there. They had nothing nice to say to us and really wanted us to go. So... And I'm like, okay. So we left anyway because it was getting dark. But it was neat to go there just to say, you know, kind of check another one off the list of paranormal locations that you hear about. So, it was cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, always a good thing. Well, we are coming up to the end of the show. Wow, this hour went by so fast, I got to say.
It did.
So next week, we're going to start a new kind of show that we're going to have once a month. And what is it called, Heidi?
I forgot the name of it. I thought you remembered. I was like, oh, Stephanie's better remember. I forgot to ask what it was.
I actually wrote it down.
Oh, did you?
The first Tuesday of every month, we're going to have a show called The Gathering Radio Show's Paranormal Smorgasbord.
Well, that's right. Smorgasbord.
Yeah.
Smorgasbord.
I know. So what that's going to be about is, you know, we're encouraging everybody in the chat room to, you know, come up with some, you know, good things you'd like to talk about. We, of course, will come up with several different little things in paranormal news. Look at David. So important. You forgot the name.
I know. Well, we came up with it like 3 weeks ago. Actually, we didn't come up with it. It was Sarge came up with the name.
Yeah, it was
give total credit to Sarge. But then it's been 3 weeks since we talked about it. I had way too much in my head since then.
I know. See, I wrote it down so I would remember, because I knew I would forget too. But it fits. I mean, the reason we're doing it the first Tuesday is because the first Tuesday of last month we had looked up some paranormal news and stuff because we just wanted to do that. And all of our fabulous listeners had such good stories they wanted to talk about and different things that we thought, okay, we got to do this once a month and call it something. And Sarge came up with the idea to call it this paranormal smorgasbord. So next week will be our first edition of that. So everybody,
First Tuesday of the month.
Yep. Get your thinking caps on and look and see what you'd like us to talk about or whatever. And we'll go for it.
Awesome.
All right. Well, end of story. So listen, everyone, thanks for listening. Thanks to the troops. If you're listening, thank you for your service. And we certainly hope you had a fabulous Memorial Day yesterday. If you are listening.
Yes.
And if you listen to the rerun, hey, if you listen to the podcast, please, you know, we really appreciate you and thank you for your service.
And thanks to Sarge, again, our most amazing producer, and Para X for hosting our show once again. We are so grateful to be here. And all of you listening and in the chat room, so, so good to be back and chatting with you all. Thank you so much for being here tonight.
Yeah, thank you. See you next week.
Have a good week, everyone.